Hello and welcome to the Psychedelic Secret. I am your host, the host with the most. I don't know what the fuck to say. Okay, so anyway, we have a show here today and we're going to be talking about LSD. And I have a very special guest who goes by the name Ben. You can call him Ben.
How's it going, guys?
Let's do this. Cue the music.
Tell us the reason why! Why are you putting people through this?
Psychedelic secret. All right. So welcome to the show. So like we said, we have a guest here to talk to us, and we have a couple questions for him. So he's had some experience with LSD, so I'm very interested. So let me start out by asking you a couple things. So what's your background like growing up?
I started out religiously, really just kind of first Holy Communion, stuff like that. Afterwards, it's kind of just my own family did their own thing. As I've gotten older, however, I kind of disregarded the belief in God and believe in science over that. So with that, I'm not very religious anymore.
Would you call yourself like an atheist, or would you say more agnostic?
Not necessarily an atheist whatsoever.
So it's possible.
Yeah.
You never know, I like that. Open-minded. That's a lot better. I mean, I feel like for me personally, when I see people on the far spectrum of being too religious and too extreme, but equally I could say atheism too, because it's like the same thing. Like, you should not believe. I mean, like, why are you telling me what to believe or not to believe?
Yeah.
So let me ask you then, as far as switching from religious to non-religious more so, like you said, Ben, what was the story? What caused that, would you say?
Well, I'm not necessarily sure what caused that. I guess really, if there was really a higher being, why would he put certain people through, you know, suffering, stuff like that? So really, when I think of religion in the long run, I think of something to provide hope for people, something to look forward to, something to be uplifting.
So you like that part of it?
Yeah, I like that part. I mean, why not believe it if that's going to be your best possible outcome, right? So I can definitely see why people, you know, are really religious when it comes to that stuff.
But what's, as you said, so this switch, was there something like through some suffering or something you saw that maybe you felt troubled you? Or what was it that for you made that switch then when you said, I'm not going to, for me, I just can't vibe exactly with all the teachings necessarily?
Well, just, I grew up Catholic, nothing but
a lot of rules.
Yeah, I didn't like that, man. I mean, if it was a higher being, I'd say he'd want you to be happy for what you want to do. You know what I mean? Not because you followed all these amount of rules to get yourself up into the heavenly gates. So with that, I mean, if anything, any type of religion, I guess I'd go like Hinduism, I guess, you know, something like that, to where it's really to make yourself happy.
You don't see a lot of Hindus like burning crosses on lawns and crazy shit like
exactly.
That. So.
They're all real humble people, so.
Cool. Okay. And I guess my next question then, so let's get right into it with LSD. Where did you first hear about it? And then secondly, what situation were you in that you ended up trying this?
That's a funny one. So I remember being like 12 years old, hearing about ecstasy and raves and LSD and all this other stuff. I remember watching this news documentary and they went out to a rave and were interviewing all these kids. And I remember one kid, he was listing all the drugs he was on that night. And one of them was LSD. And I remember thinking to myself when I was that little, I was like, oh man, this guy looks so messed up. I don't ever want to do that. Like, why would you want to do that? You know what I mean? So one day, in high school, I used to go to quite a bit of raves, you know, and experimented with that. And one of my rave buddies, he was going around town and he ended up picking up some acid. And one day I go over to his house.
On his shoe, like on the bottom of his shoe, he just stepped on it.
I found it in a mailbox, right?
I found it somewhere. Right? It's best not to rat out your friends. There you go.
So anyway, I get over to his house and he's like, all right, dude, well, I got some acid on me. Do you want to try it? I'm like, well, sure. I mean, why not? Dude, I've done mushrooms, I've done ecstasy, I've, you know, experimented with some stuff. Why not? I mean, of course, I was extremely nervous to do it. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Pretty frightened. So we ended up doing it, and the creep up was interesting. I can feel just everything flooding my veins, and it felt like in a way if I was floating in just a little pool of warm water, in a way. And after that, I put on some music. And once I started listening to music, it was like the most crisp and clear music I've ever heard in my life. You could hear every single note. And it was just amazing and beautiful. And after that, we went outside and kicked it outside and watched the clouds. And I was like, wow. from there, I was like, all right, well, I want to go deeper and see, you know, how deep I can go. And it was about 6 months, 8 months or so before I was able to find it again. One of my really good friends had ended up getting some from California, and with that, ended up taking a couple more doses than last time, and it just opened my eyes to something so amazing and beautiful. There's not really any words to describe it whatsoever. It's just
before you tell us about that amazing experience, because I want to hear about that experience, but you had mentioned that this was not your first time with psychedelics. So when did you, from that moment of feeling like you were afraid of it initially because you see this kid on TV and he's screwed up or whatever, or he looks screwed up on the outside, who knows what's going on, maybe that kid was like awesome inside. Yeah. But so from that moment to when you first tried it, what was the first thing you tried?
The first thing I tried was mushrooms. That was really just a few caps, all I got off of it was a body high. You know, nothing too special. And with that, I heard a lot of my friends in high school talk about, you know, raves and ecstasy and all this other stuff. So I was like, all right, well, if this does this to me, it makes me feel so amazing and just, wow. I mean, I guess, why not open the book to something bigger, you know? Why not experiment to see what else is out there? Why just limit yourself to one thing and one mindset?
And what would you say then, before we talk about that experience that was really big, what would you say, let's say, from the difference in LSD, at least from the first time you had it, you noticed something that you said the music was different and everything was very crisp and clear. How would you compare that to the other experiences? Was it more so that way than anything else you'd ever been on, or was it just a sort of different feeling from the times that you had before?
It was more so basically like the visions, like high definition. Everything is just so bright and deeply colored. It's like if you're in a coloring book and you're using your lead pencils and you're just pressing down really, really hard.
That's a good way to put it.
Just really bright, vivid. Kind of like if everything's wet in a way. You know what I mean?
Wait, ecstasy experience too? Did you mention ecstasy?
That was the main thing I kind of started out with. I fell in love with ecstasy, but I didn't fall in love with the drug itself.
Okay.
I fell in love with the environment it came with. Raves. Not raves, what people think of nowadays. It's not really, I don't consider that a rave whatsoever. Raves are, you know, the type of people that were there, the scene. Basically, like the Ravers Code, which we were, you know, partying by, was plur. A lot of people know it now. It's peace, love, unity, and respect.
Oh, nice.
You went to that party and you followed those rules, you know, and you'd bump into someone. You wouldn't get a dirty look, you'd end up getting a hug in return, you know, you look at him, oh man, I'm sorry, my bad, and you know, you'd end up meeting a friend, you know, it was just a completely different mindset. You'd drive 3 hours out to the middle of the desert and, you know, party till noon the next day. And,
oh my god, it was intense.
All about the people I met, every single person, not a single person I've ever met, you know, back then was an idiot or, you know, just completely wrapped up in himself.
I think that's interesting. Yeah, because you think with some on TV, like you said, that kid you saw, the news is always portraying this as something negative. And people are just, I mean, literally killing each other while they're high on something. And I think that I could see that maybe with certain things and extremes and maybe a lifestyle that goes up to like abuse with like heroin or something. You hear a lot more negative, meth, you hear a lot. Yeah. But it's true, with psychedelics, you don't hear that often. You hear a positive, but it hasn't gotten the same sort of news story coverage as being good. Yeah.
I didn't really start seeing anything, like any fights or stuff break out until roughly about, like, I'm going to say 2010, 2011, when everything started becoming commercialized. It wasn't when I first started in high school, you would get a text, you know what I mean, you'd get an email. There wasn't any postcards. It's really about who you knew.
Glossy postcards by some creep guy.
Calling some number and they'd have you drive out to the middle of nowhere and they'd call them again and then they'd have you send you in another direction. You'd have to look for this little tiny glow stick that's marking a pole where you have to go down a dirt road. And you know, it was the coolest thing I've ever experienced in my life was, you know, those days. And that right there opened my eyes to where, you know, there's a lot bigger things in the world where, you know, it's just you by yourself. It's like, talk to all these people and you get to kind of learn about them even within a few hours of speaking with them. It's like, wow, this person is really an intelligent person. He gets the big picture. And that's what attracted me the most about that, is you find an abundance of those people at these events. And that's what really was, you know, my turn on with that.
Open minds.
And the ecstasy was really just, I guess, a plus, you know? Yeah, so it was really cool stuff, and shortly after that, you know, like I said, I experimented with acid.
Moved up to LSD. Okay, yeah. Cool. And let me ask you then about that primary experience where you said it was really intense. You finally had, like, what I would call a breakthrough or something, but it was a moment that wasn't just a little bit of body high or whatever. Mm. And what was that like? Like, start right at the beginning, so you take it. Yeah, about so how many minutes in would you say?
I was really excited to take it, so I ended up taking, normally I take two, you know, one to two. So I was like, you know what, I've done this a couple times before in the past, why not, you know, try it again? And up my dose. So I ended up taking three this time, and I was kind of being a little butthead when it comes to finances, priorities, partying. I was focusing on basically the party side of everything, and my eye-opener was actually taking the acid. I didn't have a bad trip per se. I had a very intense trip. It was very, very extremely visual, but very mental as well. And basically, the acid brought out to me, you're messing up, dude. You're messing up. You're taking this stuff way too much. You're partying too much. You need to get your life straightened out. You know what I mean? And that was my big eye-opener. And that's, you know, it's a really good tool to use when you're in a bad situation. And it's a really good, you know, what's the other word I'm looking for? Not escape, but a recreational drug, you know? It goes both ways. And that was my big eye-opener. Is it actually brought my flaws out in front of my face.
Did you feel like it was the drug itself talking to you, or where was the voice? Was the voice your higher self? Was the voice some sort of being, or
yeah,
what do
my
you?
Conscience,
your
really.
Your inner was, mind.
Yeah, my inner mind.
So you knew this stuff about yourself, but you weren't ready to face it until that moment.
Acid made me face it.
You slapped yourself awake, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's really cool. And then so you laid there, and it was kind of like, so it sounds intense. You're getting this lecture. Was it like images or things pulsing through your head about it, or was it sort of just like a knowing, or how would you describe that during that conversation?
A little me inside my brain just talking to myself, just like coaching me in a way, you know what I mean? Just telling you, you know, thinking of ways to be better. And once I realized that I was messing up, and that's when the little me started coaching myself. It's like, all right, well, you're doing this and this and this wrong. Well, you know, that's all right. If you can do this, this, or this to correct that problem, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, cool, cool. So when you're in the peak, of course, you're like kind of scared, you're frightened, you're freaking out, because basically it's like someone calling you out. It can be really intense, but again, it brings out the beauty and everything. After that, of course, I straightened out, and now I know that, you know, everything is good in moderation. Mm-hmm. It seems to skip everyone's mind lately. Is that it's all, you can do anything you want, just do it in moderation, man.
I like that, man. That's very Buddhist-like, middle way. I feel it. No, that's cool. Can you imagine if your inner voice had come out in some other voice that wasn't your voice? It's like from our age, a southern accent or something. Oh, I can't do a southern accent.
You get some Scottish voice in there.
Oh my god, you would learn things about yourself you had no idea about before. Well, that's very cool. So it sounds like it even gave you solutions. I think for me, that's the biggest proof of the psychedelic experience being something, if not beyond ourselves, at least extremely important, is the fact that people come back with new information in some ways. You know, it's things that they themselves either weren't looking at or weren't presented with, but it's something that's added to you. And I think a lot of times people skip that, maybe, because you don't hear about that. And that's an evidence to me that says this is a beneficial thing. And let me ask you then, have you ever, and be honest, it's okay, I don't think it says anything negative about the substance or itself, and we all have had those sorts of things that we've had experiences, but a negative sort of experience, or something that was very dark. Have you encountered a part of yourself maybe that was even darker or intense, or is it something that luckily for you hasn't come up?
Never had a bad trip. I've had intense trips that bring out, you know, like certain things that at the time and, you know, my place in life I'm doing wrong, or, you know, should be correcting or doing better. Well, I've never had to, you know, run away from anything or seen crazy, you know, terrifying things and, you know, stuff like that. Once the intensity goes down, which is, you know, the whole mental part of it, the visuals are extremely beautiful. It's just that peak there is everything running through your brain, and really you're just, your mind's going a million miles a minute, it seems like sometimes.
Wow, and so how long does the whole experience last, would you say, from when you take it to something like that, full blown?
Yeah.
How long till it ends?
Like, really, y'all, it depends on how much you're taking. Like, say you take one hit, you know, normally you're not really going to have a bad experience whatsoever on that one hit. You might do a little deep thinking, but it's not going to be a bad one whatsoever. You're not going to have too crazy visuals, and you'll probably be able to go to sleep roughly about 9 hours after taking it.
9 hours?
Yeah, 9 hours.
Wow, that seems like a long time compared to certain things. That's pretty brave to do, man, because even mushrooms don't last that long. Usually, if you do a tea, you're looking at one like around 2 hours maybe or something. If you eat them a couple long hours more, maybe like 4 hours. Yeah. Even like ayahuasca and things like that, they last about 4 hours, I would say maybe 4 to 5 hours max. 9 hours seems like a long time, so you have to kind of put make sure you're not going to work or anything like this.
You got to have a for sure a day, you know, to do it, and then a day to recover as well. And then the more you take, of course, the longer it lasts. I've gone 13, 14 hours on, you know, just tripping, and it's there, it's lingering, but your mind's still racing, you can't go to sleep, you know what I mean? But, and the peak will last about 4 or 5 hours, you know, to where you're just solid peaking. But I don't know how true it is, but I've been told that you peak 7 times while you're on acid.
Okay, and so you mentioned the social aspect. Is it something you've done always in a group or ever by yourself?
I've never done it by myself. However, I have thought about it, you know what I mean? Because then that would give you a lot of time just all by yourself, inside your head, you know, thinking to yourself and think about your life and all that other, you know, good stuff going on. It's extremely great to do with a loved one. If you have a loved one, you know, like you two, that'd be an amazing experience for both of you. It's beautiful. You experience something more spiritual in a way than just any other drug. It's very interesting. It's definitely something to do with a close group of friends.
And so you and your, okay, so you've done this with friends. Have you done this with your wife, you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's the main person I ever do it with.
And you guys are both on it at the same time. So that's pretty brave, too, because sometimes you're like, you need to have a clear sitter or something. But it depends, I guess, obviously on the substance and on the person that you're with.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. It's pretty intense when I've done it with my wife. We've had several experiences where we are literally talking to each other without saying a single word. We're just looking at each other, and afterwards we're like, did you? Yeah. It's a very interesting thing. I've experienced, you know, that with her a couple times, and it's just, you can share her, you know, each other's visuals at times, and I actually proposed to my wife on acid, because that was my big realization that, oh my god, this woman is like a godsend, you know what I mean? We had gotten some, and I thought I only bought 2 hits. Turns out this really good friend of mine, he ended up giving us big hits, you know, as, I guess, a hookup, I guess you could say, you know? And I didn't know that. And now that I think about it, looking at those squares, I was like, yeah, those are pretty big squares. But
this is like an 8x11.
It was like, it was good. It was extremely good. But I thought we had taken 2, but now that I think about it, we had taken, you know, 2 each instead of taking 1 each. So it was the most amazing thing. I remember sitting there, and my head was up against her head, ear to ear, and I can see this orb of light just flashing, shooting in front of my face, going into my head, exiting my head, going into her head, and coming back around and just orbiting, you know, through our heads like that. And that's night where we conversated most without saying a single word, and we both were incomprehensible about it. And it was just, that night was the most beautiful night I've had in a really long time. So I was like,
and then you got married, or you got engaged after that. That's pretty cool.
I remember just sitting outside, just thinking about it, and I was like, dang, this is an amazing woman right here.
So
I'd be stupid to pass this one up.
Would you say then, since your relationship sort of founded even on this, in some ways, do you feel like your relationship is stronger still because of it? Or if you guys are having troubles, is it something you sometimes do? Or how does it work? Is it a bonding thing, or when does it come into play?
It is a really bonding thing. I remember one time she didn't really want to do it, and she, of course, didn't communicate with me. Well, I'm not really wanting to do it this time, and it was definitely like, I can sense it. When we were tripping, she was not in it whatsoever. It was actually at opening, it's like, all right, we need to communicate more. I do it to experience something with my loved one, to experience something spiritual and amazing and beautiful, because, you know, of course, the woman I love. And with that really tore into me that day. So that, you know, was the acid brought out, all right, well, you guys need to talk more. You communicate more. And it's funny because the last couple weeks, she's been off her foot, stuff like that. And for our anniversary, not the night of an anniversary, because that's on the 4th of July, mm-hmm. and it's just too much going on to be outside tripping, you know, in my opinion. So we ended up doing it the following day, and I was like, wow, I was thinking about it, and I was kind of bugged, you know, she was this awkward fee, all that other stuff, and I was like, wow, I'm taking her for granted there for a little bit, dude. You know what I mean? And it's like, think about it, she does a lot for you. Don't be bugged that she's hurt right now.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? What's your problem? And I was sitting there just thinking that, tripping. And as soon as I realized that, me and her had an amazing, beautiful night.
Yeah.
And it was just, again, another eye-opener. It's very interesting. It's definitely, I feel that we've lasted this long because of the different insights all these other drugs and hallucinogenics have given us throughout the years. It's like, take a step back. Look at the big picture. Right now, you're just focusing on the sideshow. You know what I mean? I don't know.
That's amazing. I like that story. That's really cool, man. Actually, reminds me of Alex Gray and Allison Gray. Have you seen their artwork?
It was beautiful artwork, yeah.
The connection between him and his wife. And I think he said something like a big connection on LSD, too, the first time on, like, saying acid.
It sounds like the word in your face. Everyone tell people that. They're like, what?
Let's call it something. Let's just call it Lucy, this guy with diamonds. Oh, Allison, yeah. So I'm shooting these questions out on the fly, so thanks for your patience if they're weird. And I just thought of one I actually want to ask you. Okay, so this is interesting because I and my wife as well ran into a group of people we used to sort of belong to for a while there, and it was like, I wouldn't call it a church, but it's a legalized version of people who participate in ayahuasca ceremonies, right? And they're interesting because when we got there, we were really thrown back. We're like, okay, cool, we really agree with this stuff. It's medicinal. We feel like all psychedelics are, but for us specifically, we've had a lot of focus on that. But either way, they would talk about how, well, they had kids there, and their kids would even participate in the ceremonies at pretty young ages. Like, we would see little kids in elementary school be stepping up and doing this stuff. And they seemed to be very chill about it, and they seemed to be very sort of aware children. And then we asked them, well, what age? And they told us, well, we do it even when we're pregnant. And we were like thrown back, like, it's such an experience. We're going to labor where we drink ayahuasca. And I was like, oh my God, this is some intense stuff. So let me ask you, now everyone's different and you don't have to do that, because we were, like I said, obviously thrown back a little bit by it, had to think about it. Not sure if we would ever do that if we had kids one day. Yeah. And I'm not sure if you and your wife were ever planning on having kids, but if you did have kids, at what point would you communicate with them that this is a part of your life? And at what point, if at any point, would you involve them in it? Would you say, now this is hypothetical, like I said.
I'd say really, it'd be not really an age, physical age, I should say, mental age, I'd say.
Like a maturity.
Yeah, maturity-wise. Definitely whenever I have kids, and if I do have kids, of course, that's something that I'd want to introduce to them instead of having the friends introduce, you know. It's like something, all right, you can, you know, that's cool if you do it, just, you know, do it here at the house, and maybe we can make it a family deal, you know, where all of us, you know, go ahead and hang out and experience, you know, something extremely spiritual and amazing and beautiful. So I just wait till, you know, my kid Giles tells me himself.
It's mature enough.
Yeah.
So that brings the question in play. So what are the signs and symptoms of maturity, would you say? In a person.
See, that's a hard one. That's a really,
some immature
really
40-year-olds out there.
That's definitely. Well, shoot, man, you got me stumped on that one. Really,
or you just, I mean, it's like a knowing because you see that they don't.
Yeah, really, a strong mind, I guess. You know, once, dang, this is a hard question.
It's hard, right?
Yeah,
like,
this
when
is
that?
Hard question.
It's kind of like that whole age of consent thing, like where there's a 23-year-old wants to date a 17-year-old, and like, why not?
Yeah.
But then some people think that's crazy. So, yeah, exactly. What is a level of maturity and understanding or the evidence of it?
Priorities, I suppose. Once that child realizes where his priorities are, you know, doing good in school, making his life better. It's like, all right, you got good priorities. You know what? Let's make those in priorities even better. Let's increase those guys. So I guess that's the level of maturity we would want, or I would want, you know, for
it's
my
true.
Child.
It's true. You need to take care of business.
Understand where your priorities are. Once you do that, all right, let's go ahead and introduce you. You know, it's something that you can use as a tool to, you know, help you prioritize things throughout life as well.
And that would be the first conversation you'd have with them about it? Or would, I mean, what would you say? Because you and your wife, for instance, probably want to partake in this at some point as the child is younger. If they were to see you, you know, some folks even who smoke weed or whatever, they have their kids walk in and then they kind of explain, oh, this is something mommy and daddy do to relax or to connect or whatever. Would it be sort of similar? What would you say?
What I would do is really just, this is something for a little bit older. Mine's not necessarily older, again, you know, physically, but mentally.
I think I have to agree with that, yeah, because we were kind of put back on it, like, can a child, in some ways, we were talking before we started recording here about my wife's brother, and basically how he had a lot of SSRI use and lost the ability to really feel anything from most psychedelics, which is such an unfortunate thing, and had to do from his, you know, receptors in his head not developing to the right place. And that would be my concern when we saw these folks sort of participate with their kids in ayahuasca. It's good, I could understand it, but the children, I don't know if they've come to anything in life to even sort out to that level or to deal with and to kind of move around and have that sort of medicine in play to where, I mean, are they just kind of maybe nullifying it in their brain because it's too much too soon that isn't applicable to anything?
Yeah.
So I like what you said, because it seems like maturity, you're prioritizing, there's stuff coming to play that isn't in a normal kid down the street. Let's see if we got, we'll think about what else we can ask you. Okay, so the question we would ask then next, or I would ask, would have to do with, how would you, so when you tell people you're an everyday kind of person, you work a job, you're responsible, right? You're not some crazy crack addict on the corner like most people want a picture on the news. So yeah, when you have the discussion with people, how do you choose who to talk to and what to talk about? Since this is obviously very personal and important to you, maybe one of the most important things, it sounds like. But it's also very taboo in our society.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about that if you don't mind.
Kind of talk to the person at first. Get to see how open-minded they are. Once I establish that, you know, they're a pretty open-minded person, you know, then I'm extremely comfortable with talking.
So no Republicans, is that right? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, basically, shoot. So, yeah, it's really just based on, you know, how open-minded they are. I've had instances where, you know, I've talked to people about it, and they're extremely closed-minded and have called me a drug addict in the past.
Really? Immediately?
Yeah.
So you tell them, and you've opened up because you thought it was time to open up, and they tell you you're a drug addict?
Yeah, exactly. But it's really, in my opinion, it's just because, I mean, they don't know. They're uneducated about this drug. They see me as doing it as a recreational drug, you know what I mean? You know, all that other stuff. It's like, no, it's a completely different story.
And these are people who haven't tried it, obviously, right?
Yeah,
they're not saying, I've done it, this is crap. It's always the folks who seems to be, didn't do it, haven't ever done it.
That's only happened really once. All the other people, you know, I'm the type of person that if you don't like me, really, I don't care. You know, you're lost. You know, I'm an all right guy.
Yeah.
You know, but so really, I don't really care what people think.
I would agree.
About
you
me
are a very all right guy, man.
With that, you know, I try to open people's minds to the possibilities of, you know, possibly taking this in the future. A lot of my coworkers, I'm not, you know, really afraid to speak with them about it whatsoever, just because, in my opinion, as many people as possible need to experience this. And I mean, it's just too good of a thing to pass up. And I mean, if you're afraid of it, that's fine. It's okay to be afraid of it. But I mean, don't just judge someone by, you know, cover because they've taken this drug before. It's a lot more behind it than just having recreational tripping.
So no pressure, but you show it to the people you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
What if somebody, because I've had this kind of thing in my mind too, I'm never sure, should I present it, should I not? If somebody's really struggling in life, do you think that this is something, for in your mind, would you say, to give them that could help them? Or do you think this is something that they should wait till they're in a little more stable part of their life? Or, like, you've got a very depressed friend or something. Would you suggest it?
I would say a very depressed friend. Yeah, why not? You know what I mean? Have them take one to start out and, you know, just to break the ice. And later on, you know, drop a couple more on him to have that big eye-opening experience. And it's definitely something I would, you know, advise for people, you know, under depression and, you know, who are just having hard mental times, you know, definitely give it a shot.
Because they can see the world a little bit differently.
See the world
right?
A little different. It'll bring out, it might bring out the negative, but you can't have the good without the bad.
That's
so,
a good point.
You know,
you got to clean it or something. If you put it in the back, like a lot of times psychology and stuff, I think it's useful, but for a while there, I went to a psychologist and it felt like we were kind of going over the same things, but in a way, I wasn't at the time ready to bring it up and it just sat there rotting in the back, you know, and it was always my perspective. What's good about, I think, these things is it forces in a way a little bit for you to see, to really handle it and see it rather than just dance around the issue or something.
Yeah.
Like you can kind of dance around and talk from a certain place, but when you're faced with something so drastically different, maybe it's hard to maintain that dialogue that you've kept up that life sucks. And listen, I can see it. All right, cool. Well, let me think if we have any other questions or if there's anything else that you can think of that you'd like to talk about. Do you mind? We can edit a piece together and make it sound nice.
Not much, really. Just, I mean, if you're really curious about doing it, of course, do a little research on it before you try it. It's always good to know what you're at least kind of getting into. I mean, yeah, it's not going to tell you everything, but...
For a 9-hour trip, you better know, man.
Yeah, it's always good to do a little bit of research before you do it. Get yourself a little comfortable. But then again, if you're afraid, that's normal. There's something wrong with you if you're not kind of nervous going into something like that. It's like, yeah, the couple times that I've, you know, been extremely confident, oh, I know this drug. I know this drug like the back of my hand. I've done it so many times that I could take a whole bunch. It's like, nah, it flips a U-turn on you and it tells you, no, you don't, dude.
It slaps
no,
you straight.
No, you don't.
Nice. I like so, that.
Like it all boils back down to moderation. Do it, enjoy it, but don't overuse it. You know what I mean? It can be a very extremely helpful tool. Once you start overusing it, it's going to tell you and you're going to be kind of nerve-wracked a little bit there.
So some sage advice. Well, I really want to say thank you, man, for coming on and sharing your experience with us.
Most
we really appreciate it, and hopefully it won't be the last time we have you on.
Oh, no.
And you guys out there have an excellent day as well.
Goodbye.